back to the AgeTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and equip you to become part of that generation that will turn the age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we will continue our fellowship in the series of Flee and Pursue. We have been sharing the last few weeks concerning the matter of the Lord's second coming. I hope that you've enjoyed the fellowship thus far, and I hope that you've seen that actually our daily life is connected to the Lord's second coming. How we live our daily life with the Lord affects the Lord's second coming. As it says in 2 Peter, we are those who are expecting and hastening the coming day of God. We can be those who not only expect the Lord's return, but even hasten the Lord's return. We can cooperate with Him so that in our daily life, we are gaining Him, He's spreading in us, and we are causing His coming to come sooner. We have seen that in the Bible, the Lord not only warns us that He is coming, but He also gives us the way how to prepare for His coming. And we saw last time in Matthew chapters 24 and 25 that the Lord not only shows us the signs of His coming, not only warns us that we should be ready for His coming, but also He gives us some ways to be ready for His coming. And in Matthew 25, we can see that there are two ways that we can prepare for the Lord's return. When He comes back, the Lord will judge us. It tells us in Romans and also in 2 Corinthians that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when He comes, He will judge us according to two major areas. The first is our growth in life. And that's what we saw in last week's portion from the parable of the 10 virgins. Those 10 virgins, they all were believers. They all loved the Lord. But 5 of them were wise or prudent, and 5 were foolish. What was the difference? The difference was not the oil in their lamps. They all had oil in their lamps. The difference was some had extra oil in their vessels, and the foolish ones did not. And this points to the fact that we need to be saturated with the Spirit. We need to allow the Lord to spread through our whole being as the heavenly oil, so that when He comes back, we have the extra oil. And we need to pay a price to buy this oil. This oil comes at a cost. To gain the Spirit does come at a cost in our daily lives. And the cost is our soul life. We need to pay the price to deny our soul, to turn to the Lord in our spirit, and to gain Him, letting Him saturate our being. This is the buying of the oil. But that's only one side. That is on the side of life. There is also another side, another aspect, that when the Lord comes, He will judge us according to this aspect, and that is the matter of service. Brothers and sisters, we all need to serve the Lord, which basically is ministering the Lord to others. So on one hand, there's the life aspect. That is, we receive life. We enjoy life. On the other hand, we have the serving aspect, which is our ministering that life that we receive and enjoy to others around us. So in Matthew 25, and starting from verse 14, the Lord gives us this parable of 3 slaves. There's a master who has 3 slaves, and he delivers to them his possessions. To one, he gives 5 talents. To another, he gives 2 talents. And to the third, he gives 1 talent. And I think most of you know the story. The one who was given the 5 talents, he goes and he trades with them. And the result is that he has 10 talents. The second one with the two, he also trades with those talents, and the result is he ends up with four. Then the third one, it says in Matthew 25:18, he who had received the one went off and dug in the earth and hid his master's money. Then, when the master came back, each of them went before his master, and to the first two, that is the one with five that gained five, the master says, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the two talents came, and he, of course, had gained two more. And the master says exactly the same thing to him. But then the third one comes, and his response is very different. In verse 24, it says, then he who had received the one talent also came and said, Master, I knew about you, that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not winnow. And I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the earth. Behold, you have what is yours. And his master answered and said to him, evil and slothful slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not winnow. Therefore, you should have deposited my money with the money changers, and when I came, I would have recorded what is mine with interest. Well, what can we learn from this parable that can be related to our daily living? The first thing we need to see is, what are these possessions, or what are these talents that the master gives to the slaves? There is a footnote in Matthew 25, verse 15. It reads like this. A talent, the largest unit of weight, was worth 6,000 denarii. In the parable of the virgins, oil signifies the Spirit of God, whereas in this parable, talents signify spiritual gifts. For life, we need oil, the Spirit of God, even his filling, that we may be enabled to live the virgin life for the Lord's testimony. For service, for work, we need the talent, the spiritual gift, that we may be equipped as a good slave to accomplish what the Lord intends to accomplish. The filling of the Spirit in life is for us to use the spiritual gift in service. And the spiritual gift in service matches the fullness of the Spirit in life, that we may be perfected as members of Christ. So on one hand, brothers and sisters, we can see that these talents are some abilities that the Lord has given us. On the other hand, we need to see something very practical about these talents. See, in verse 14, it says that the man gave his slaves his possessions. But in verse 15, it says that he gave them talents. I'd like to read you a part of Life Study Message number 65 of Matthew, the Matthew Life Study. It says, this indicates that the talents in verse 15 are the possessions in verse 14. In other words, the Lord uses his possessions as talents for us. For example, the gospel is the Lord's possession, but when it is given to us, it becomes our talent. Likewise, the truth is the Lord's possession, but when the truth is given to us, it becomes our talent. In the same principle, all the believers are the Lord's possessions. When the believers are given to us, they become our talents. Without all the believers, my talent would not be very big. Furthermore, the church is the Lord's possession. When the church is given to us, it becomes our talent. The more of his possessions the Lord gives to us, the more talents we shall have. In like manner, the more the Lord burdens us, the more talents we shall have. Many Christians know that in this parable the talents are gifts. However, they do not know that the source of the gifts is the Lord's possessions. Today, the Lord's possessions primarily are the gospel, the truth, the believers, and the church. If you do not care for these things, you will not have any talents. This is very important to understand, brothers and sisters, so that this point can be practical to us. Many people, when they read this portion, they consider that the talents that the Lord gives us, they are merely some natural abilities that we could do something for the Lord. But they don't realize that the source of the talents is actually the Lord's possessions. So, in a practical way, how can we invest our talents? The Lord has given us these four wonderful items. He's given us the gospel, he's given us the truth, he's given us the believers, and he's given us the church. The more we are involved in these four matters, the more useful we will be, the more we can serve the Lord. Be careful not to misapply this word and consider, oh, I don't have many natural abilities. What can I do for the Lord? Just preach the gospel. Just speak the truth to people. Just be involved with the fellow believers, with the brothers and sisters, shepherding them, ministering life to them. Just be involved in the church life. I'd like to read also another portion from the Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1968, Volume 2. Here, our brother says, all the saints should serve in the church. According to our experience and observation, the young people need to be exercised in the spiritual activity of going forth to bear fruit. The easiest time for Christians to bear fruit is when they are young. This is also true in regard to actual fruit trees. It is not easy for old branches to bear fruit. As a branch becomes older, it becomes more difficult for it to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is related to preaching the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we all have been given the Lord's possessions. He has entrusted to us the gospel, the truth, other fellow believers, and the church. The one with one talent, he may have compared himself to the one others that had received five or two and thought he received so little. But actually, one talent, as I mentioned before, was very substantial amount of money. We all are rich in the Lord's possessions. What we need to do is to have a positive attitude to invest our talent. However, this one talented one, he took the talent and dug in the earth and hid it. And this is also very significant. I'd like to read you this note from Matthew 25, verse 18. The earth signifies the world. Thus, dug in the earth signifies becoming involved in the world. Any association, any involvement with the world, even a little worldly talk, will bury the gift we have received from the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, I hope we can see something here that really is connected to our daily life. On one hand, we need to not be involved with the world, not let the world bury our gift. On the other hand, what we need to do is positively invest the talent that we have received. By what? Preaching the gospel, ministering the truth, shepherding fellow believers, and being involved in the church life. The series that we are covering is entitled Flee and Pursue. And here in this parable, we have a very practical application. To prepare for the Lord's coming, we need to flee the worldly involvements, flee the things of the world that will bury our talent, and cause us not to have the motivation to invest our talent. But on the positive side, we need to pursue with those who call on the Lord, with those who have the heart for the gospel, with those that want to minister life and truth to others and be involved in the church life. In this way, brothers and sisters, in a normal way, we can be prepared for the Lord's coming. It's so important that we have others that we can pursue with. Well, I think that is all for today. Again, as always, if you have enjoyed this fellowship and would like to share something with us, please write us at contactus@ageturners.com. Oh, Lord Jesus, We love you. Lord Jesus, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For hturners.com, this is Rick Rickhouse.